Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant, Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
Come on, give it to the Lord. Celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Amazing. Amen. Are you excited to be in the presence of the Lord? In a moment, we are entering into our truth experience. That is where the Word of God becomes so real. And that is where we take an opportunity to feed on God's Word. Amen. Are you ready for it? Lift up your right hand and begin to talk to God. Say, Father, speak your word to me. I don't want to hear the words of man. I want to hear you speak to me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for this glorious moment that I'm about to have with you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Come on, begin to thank the Lord. Begin to thank him. Begin to bless him. Begin to honor him. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Come on, give him praise. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually from the fruit of our lips. Give him glory for such a glorious moment. Any day now, your miracle is happening. Your testimony is showing. Your glorious destiny is becoming evident. What a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Amazing. Let the people shout a big amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for this hour. We know your presence is here, and therefore you're going to speak to us. Father, your word that we've always been yearning for, your word that builds and establishes us, the word of truth that you are. Holy Spirit, come reveal Jesus like never before. May we have an encounter that we have never had before. Lord, not my will, but let your will prevail in this atmosphere and speak your word to us in Jesus, the blessed name. And let everyone that is ready shout a big amen. Amen. As you take your seat in the presence of your Father. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the 21 days of glory, and your glory shall not elude you. These are your seasons of harvest, and these are your seasons of testimonies. I didn't hear you loud this amen. And these are your harvest of glory. Oh, I see the harvest of glory coming to you. Luke chapter number 18, verse number 1 has been the key scripture for our discussion during this month, and also for that matter our prayer and fasting season. The Bible says, and Jesus speak a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Wow, amazingly. Prayer is supposed to be ceaseless. It's supposed to be continuous. It's supposed to be persevering. It's supposed to be long. It's supposed to be passionate. It's supposed to be passionate. Prayer, it's supposed to be persevering. Jesus picked this parable also to explain what prayer should be. Among other things, he talked to us about a judge who lives in a city and did not fear God, neither did he fear man. And in the same city, there was another woman, the Bible calls her a widow. A widow in the sense that she has lost the husband. And I want you to understand that in those days, when we talk about widows, we are not talking about the modern day widows. The reason being that in those days, women were not allowed to work. Women were allowed to rely, dependently on their husbands. And therefore, when your husband dies, then it becomes a very difficult time and situation for you. In other words, the woman or the widow is rid of everything that she has. So I believe that under such circumstance that this widow find herself. And as a matter of that, as a matter of fact, the Bible says that she went to this judge to avenge for her. Now the Bible makes it clear that this judge wouldn't want to look at this widow. She comes there every morning knocking at his door, but to no avail. But one day the judge decided that no, I have to avenge for this lady so that she wouldn't worry me with her continuous coming. Praise God. And Jesus established a truth right here that if this unrighteous or unjust judge could avenge for this woman because of the way she was troubling him, how much more will he not avenge for his own elect who calls on him day and night? Praise God. So prayer must not only be day, neither must it only be night. It must be day and night. It must be what? In other words, it must be every time, every moment, every season, every opportunity. I told you about Billy Graham, where once he was being interviewed and was asked that, when do you get time to pray? Because he's a busy man, moving from here, organizing crusades, doing that. And he told the man interviewing him that even as I'm sitting, talking with you, I'm praying. You can imagine. He said, how are you praying? He said, I'm praying in my spirit. I'm praying all the time. I'm praying all the time. I'm praying all the time. So we must understand that prayer must become part and parcel of the believer, of the child of God. Prayer must not be burdensome. Prayer must not be tedious. You know, many of us see prayer as a weight, you know, as a burden. So whenever we talk about prayer, then you feel that like a burden is about to be put on you, or you are supposed to carry a burden. And anything that you see as a burden, then you develop some attitude towards it. Anything that you see as a problem, you develop an attitude. So many of us have developed attitude towards prayer all because we see it as what? A burden. But I pray that in this season, may your mindset change. Last week we understood that you can't be in the kingdom without a prayer life. You cannot be in the kingdom, you cannot survive in the kingdom without a prayer life. Jesus in his statement said that everyone on earth, everybody, every man and woman, children and adults, everybody must pray. Prayer is a necessity. Tell somebody, prayer is a necessity. And nothing can be achieved on earth except men pray. It was John Wesley who said that God doesn't do anything than to answer prayer. He does not do anything but to answer prayer. So if you are not praying, then answers are not being received, because God is waiting on your prayer in order to answer. Come on, tell somebody, God is waiting on your prayer before he can answer. Nothing can be achieved in the will of God except men pray. Nothing can be achieved in the will of God except men pray. And we saw that in Luke chapter number 11, verse number 1-2, when the Bible makes it clear that the disciples came to Jesus. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he seized one of his disciples, said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciple in prayer. And this is very important statement. Teach us to pray as John also taught his disciple. It means that John was praying. And before we come to Jesus, we must understand that John came, according to John chapter number 1, the Bible says that he was a man sent from God to witness about the light. So John had a purpose. John was supposed to walk in the will of God in a certain way. John was supposed to accomplish and fulfill a purpose. John was supposed to walk in line with what he was born to be and born for. And as a result, the Bible says that John was praying. Tell somebody, John was praying. So the disciple of Jesus came to him that we also want to pray like John taught his disciples in prayer. Then Jesus didn't miss words. Then he said that, well, then you have asked the right thing, because prayer must be taught. Never take it for granted. Prayer must be taught. Prayer must be taught, and we must pray aright. You cannot just pray any prayer. You know, there are protocols to prayer. One of them is the fact that your prayer must be heard before answers can be opened. Before answers can come, your prayer must be heard. The Bible says that the Lord does not answer the prayer of the sinner. The Lord does not answer the prayer of the sinner. In other words, God doesn't answer anyone that he doesn't have a relationship with. If God doesn't, you don't have a relationship with God, he cannot answer your prayer. Praise God. The only prayer that God will answer is a prayer of repentance. Is somebody here with me? Now we must understand that Jesus told them that indeed you need to know how to pray. These days we have all kinds of people praying. Everybody's praying. But little is coming out of prayer. In other words, prayer has been taken for granted and prayer has become something else. People are praying all kinds of prayer, but they are not having results. In other words, there is a kind of prayer that you must pray that must bring results. Hallelujah. James talked about it and he said that it must supposed to be fervent and must be effectual. A fervent and effectual prayer availeth much. Availeth much. So you cannot just pray anyhow and have results. You must know the kind of prayer to pray. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter number 8, verse number 26, the Bible says that Paul in his writing said, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our infirmities. So we have what we call prayer infirmities. Prayer infirmities. Prayer infirmities. Which means that there are certain limitations. There are certain way by which a man can be able to pray. That your prayer will be in accordance with the will of God. Praise God. And that scripture is so deep to me because many of us knows the problems that we have. We know the challenges that we are facing. We know the perplexities and the vicissitudes of our lives. But the point is that what kind of prayer do I have to make in order to have answers to that particular need or that challenge in my life? What kind of prayer should I pray? So James says that we pray amiss. So I want you to understand that prayer must be taught in order to be done right. Prayer must be taught in order to be done right. Tell somebody, prayer must be taught in order to be done right. So this gentleman, one of the disciples, came to Jesus and said that, teach us how to pray. It could be possible that they were praying, but they were not getting results. They were praying and their prayers were not availing much. They were praying and they were praying amiss. Teach us, Lord, how to pray. Because prayer has been there since creation. And therefore, I believe that the disciples may have an idea of what prayer is. But what right kind of prayer do we need to pray? What are the right kind of prayer we have to pray? Hallelujah. Somebody's blessed. Now, Jesus made an emphatic statement. Go to verse number 2, Luke chapter number 11. He said that when he prays, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Hallowed be thy name. That means give glory to God. Give glory to God. Give glory to God. Honor him. Bless him. Lift him up. Let him become buoyant. And let him become bigger. Before everything. In fact, deem him with all the respect and the love. Give him all the accolades and all the things that are associated with. Let God be the center of your focus in prayer. Let him be bigger than your challenges. Let him be bigger than your troubles. Let him be bigger than the issues that you are confronted. Lord, teach us how to pray. And they say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come." The only purpose of God on earth is that that which pertains in heaven would also be seen here on earth. The will of God in heaven would also be seen right here on earth. And you must understand that you are a candidate through whom the kingdom of God must permeate. God wants to reach the whole world. And God has called you as an instrument through which his kingdom must show forth. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is all that God stands for. It's all that is in his domain, his power, his strength, his favors, his grace, his majesty, his glory. Everything is embedded in his kingdom. And he says that through you, so let thy kingdom come. It is not just to, the kingdom of God should come and occupy the space. No, it is occupying your life, your heart. The kingdom of God must take place within you so that it will affect everything around you. Oh, come on. I see the kingdom of God impacting your life. Then he said that thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Thy will be done. Now, you must understand that the will of God is his plan for your life. Is his purpose for your life. Is that which he has earmarked for you. The will of God cannot go amiss. The will of God cannot frustrate you. The will of God cannot bring you back. The will of God cannot delay your life. The will of God cannot destroy you. Because he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. They are the thought of peace to give you, not of evil, to give you an expected end." The will of God is always to give you an expected end. Your end shall be glorious. I said your end shall be glorious. The Bible makes it clear in Isaiah chapter number 55, somewhere verse number, it says that, my word cometh not but to accomplish the purpose of which it was sent. My word comes forth in order to accomplish the purpose of it which was sent. It says that as the heavens are far above, the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Oh my God, as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. There are ways of God. There are ways of God. Tell somebody there are ways of God. And there are thoughts of God. And there are ways of men and there are thoughts of men. The ways of God will always lead you to a glorious destiny. But then the ways of men would bring distraction to your life. But then he didn't say we cannot have his ways. Neither did he say we cannot have his thoughts. He's just giving us the differentials in thoughts and ways. Is somebody here with me? In other words, if there are ways of God, then let me have the ways of God. If there are thoughts of God, then let me have the thoughts of God. Because his ways and thoughts will add value to my life. Somebody is blessed. So nothing can be achieved in the will of God on earth without prayer. That is the statement. That is why I'm moving around everywhere. The only statement I want to say to you is that nothing is achieved in the will of God. Nothing is achieved in the will of God. Nothing is achieved in the will of God. You cannot manifest God's will without prayer. That is why in prayer, Jesus told them that when you pray, say, oh my God, say, thy will be done. I pray that the will of God will be established in your life. Hallelujah. And just like we saw in John the Baptist, we also saw Jesus also fulfilling destiny. Fulfilling destiny. Fulfilling destiny. He came to do the will of his Father because he was always praying. Jesus was a fulfilled man because he walked in the will of his Father. And the Bible says that the reason why he was able to do that was because he was what? Praying. Hallelujah. Without prayer, you cannot walk in the will of God. Oh, your amen is weak. I said, without prayer, you cannot walk in the will of God. Say, without prayer, I cannot walk in the will of God. Now, in this service, what is the necessity of prayer? Why is it necessary for me to pray? It's very important. The very first one, go to Genesis chapter number 17, verse number 19. Genesis 17, verse number 19. Why is it necessary for me to pray? Why is it so important for me to pray? We've talked about the fact that Jesus taught us how to pray, and prayer must be taught. So why is it so important? Genesis chapter number 3, verse 17 to 19. Chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. The Bible says that, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it." Now, everybody read with me. "Cursed is the ground for..." Come on, let's repeat it again. Now, he says that in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of your life. Let's add the 18 and I'll come back. The 18 is that thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Wow. It is important for us to understand why prayer is necessary. Because the ground on which we find ourselves is cursed. The ground of which we find ourselves is cursed. When man sinned, God cursed the ground. God cursed the ground. Now understand it. God placed a curse on the ground when man sinned. Now you are saved. How many saved people are here? Wow, excellent. God bless you for giving your life to Jesus. Amen. We are saved and we are also citizens of heaven. How many citizens of heaven are here? What a blessing. Amen. But you must understand that the ground of which you are working on, the ground on which you stay, that ground is what? Accursed. So you are saved, all right. You are heaven bound. But you must understand that the word of God that cursed the ground is still active. Nothing has what? Changed. He said that cursed is the ground. Praise God. Is somebody here with me? So your working place on earth is a curse. So for you to be able to work well and do well on earth, on this ground, that is cursed. You need a prayer life. You need what? A prayer life. Praise Jesus Christ. To be able to deal with the forces of the curse that is militating against you. It was God who cursed it, but those who come to him through Jesus Christ, he expects you to engage your heart in prayer in order to avert and in order to overcome those curses. So you can be a child of God and still be meted out with curses. Put somebody and say, "Pastor is speaking." Is somebody here with me? Yes. So you can be a child of God, you can be in church, you can do all that, but yet it's like the curse of the ground is working against you. Praise God. In Genesis chapter number 8, verse number 21, Genesis chapter 8, verse number 21, it's so important. Genesis chapter number 8, verse number 21, the Bible says, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse what? Anymore for man's what?" Wow. That was after the flood. And Noah had actually given God a burnt offering. Amen. Do you know what offering can do? It can avert the curses. Oh my God, be careful the offering you give. He said that for the imagination of man's heart is evil from what? Am I speaking to somebody here? "Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have what? I have done." Praise God. So even at a point in time, let me say, God may have regretted cursing the ground, but yet the curse still works for anybody who comes on the surface of the earth. Hallelujah. Now we must understand this, that the curse that is found on the ground in which we find ourselves in working, that curse is what brings what we call decay. Say decay. The law of decay. Say the law of decay. Now the law of decay says that because of the curse of the ground, everything must decay. Everything must go back into destruction. We call it the law of entropy. Are you with me? Where everything must go down. You can call it the law of diminishing returns. And whatever goes up must definitely what? Comes down into destruction. Is somebody here with me? Because of the curse of the law, everything must what? Decay. Tell somebody everything must decay. And prayer, among other things, is what is used to be able to build ourselves against the decays of this world, or this world. Are you with me? Prayer is what is used to build a defense against the decay. Now, come to think of it, everything is decaying. Everything goes back into the ground. Everything gets into destruction. Yes, it doesn't mean if you pray you will not die, but let me tell you, you will live a fulfilled life before you die. You will live to your full age before you die. Is somebody here with me? Now, the rate at which things are decaying is so fast. It's so fast. And because of that, we need to build our muscles. We need to be strong to fight the decays. Hallelujah. Now, because of the curse on earth, it's also important to understand that is the reason why mankind has built systems in this world. So in this world, we have what we call systems and structures. Now, these systems and structures have been built by mankind in order to avert or sustain the decay of what? Of this earth. Because everything is accursed and everything is what? Decaying. Is somebody here with me? Now, these systems that are built is what we call the world. The world. Cosmos. The world. It is made up of structures and what? Systems to run so that the decays. Praise God. And you must understand that as a child of God, these structures and systems have been structured against you. There's nothing in this world that will promote our Jesus and our Christ. There's nothing that is happening in this world that makes the kingdom of God established. Every system and everything that is being done is against the kingdom of God in which you find yourself. Is somebody here with me? And let me tell you, these systems are what corrupts our lives. They corrupt our lives. They corrupt our lives. They corrupt our lives. I always use this as an example. One of the systems that is corrupting our world is the system of football, the system of economies, the system of trade, the system of money, and all this the world is using in order to affect or corrupt the believer's life. So, hallelujah. And these structures will naturally corrupt you if you don't pray. These structures will naturally corrupt you. That's why we see more carnal believers in the church than any other place. Because they are into the world and have brought the world in the church. Praise God. And when you do that, you don't experience your glorious destiny to the fullest. Is somebody here with me? And for that reason, you must pray in order to break away from the systems and the structures of this world. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody will say, so Pastor, don't I have to watch football? No, you don't watch football at the expense of when you need to pray, when you need to come to church, when you need to do something for the Lord. Oh, so Pastor, does it mean I don't have to go to hospitals that are built by the world? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not trying to say that, oh, stop this or stop that. No. But I want you to understand that the systems of this world have been built against you, the child of God. Everything that is happening, praise God. We saw recently when coronavirus invaded. Look at how the church was attacked. Look at how everybody,
The church was attacked. The kind of measures that were put in place, restricting, even up to now, many countries have not returned back to church. All because of the systems of this world. Is somebody here with me? Everything that you have heard about the successes or whatever thing, everything is in place because of the structures that the devil is putting in this world. Somebody is blessed. Are you getting it? Go to 1 John. 1 John chapter number 2, 15 to 16. He said that love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not what? Praise God. So as children of God, we are not supposed to love the world, even though we live in the world. Because the moment you start loving the world, the decay of the world will start corrupting your life. Is somebody here with me? Now go to verse number 16. We are going straight to 17. We say that for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of what? The world. Well, I made an extensive teaching on this thing, these three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the lust of the pride of life. Go get a tape. I think it should be on the podcast by now, and listen to it. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that these things are of the world. And look at the 17. He said that, and the world passeth what? In other words, the world is decaying. In fact, the world is sinking. Now, the world doesn't have solutions for its problems anymore. Oh, come on. Can I talk to you? Yeah. I recently, you know, when this coronavirus came and the vaccine started coming, and people, when they started, the people were rushing to go and have vaccines and all that, and people were excited at least, I mean, there's an end to this thing. Then there was some kind of publication that, oh, this vaccine is crying, it cannot what? It cannot completely take the virus, so you must still wear your mask. Ah, what is the meaning of this? If I'm taking the vaccine, in order not to be affected, I should still wear my mask. For what reason? Praise God. Then we saw some things on Facebook flying everywhere that even those who have taken the vaccine, by 10 years' time, everybody will be dead. No, how many of you saw that? Yes, it was everywhere. So if you have taken the vaccine, and you don't pray. What a blessing. Are you here with me? So you realize that the world, has exhausted its solutions for the problems that are already in it. Is somebody here with me? The world actually is what? Sinking. It is being destroyed. And the only way to keep yourself alive in Christ, in order not to be taken away by the sinking world, is to be in prayer. 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 If you don't pray, you are sinking with the world. That is why we need to pray. Tell somebody, that is why we need to pray. Let me quickly do this. So what happens when we pray? 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 We build spiritual muscles against the laws of decay. We build spiritual muscles against the laws of decay and the world. We build spiritual muscles against the laws of decay and the world. In Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10 to 12. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10 to 12. The Bible makes us to understand that finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. 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 And in the power of his might. Finally, my brethren, finally, church members, finally, people of God, be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? What a blessing. Now move on, he said that put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks, the deception of the devil. Are you with me? Now verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in where? high places. Praise God. Now, the Bible makes us to understand that whenever we pray, we build our spiritual muscle. In other words, we become strong in our inner man. Now, everybody has another person within you. You are not just what we see. There is your real you is inside of you. Man is a tripartite. Are you with me? That is, we are spirit beings. And we have a soul, and that soul lives in a body. Are you with me? And what the man inside you, the Bible calls him, the Bible calls me inner man. The inner man. The inner man. And the inner man is the one that must be stronger in order to be able to resist the decays and the structures of this world that are trying to corrupt your life. Is somebody here with me? So in prayer and fasting, we build our inner man. Our inner man becomes strong and becomes buoyant. Praise God. Is somebody here with me? So prayer is what builds the man within you. And we call it the spirit man. The man within you. The spirit man. The spirit man. Here, that is the small letter S. This, your spirit man. Or your inner man. What a blessing. I see in this season of glory, your spirit man is being buoyant. I said your spirit man is being buoyant. In the name of Jesus Christ, to be able to stand against the decays. 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 If you want to break the force of gravity in your life, the power that makes everything comes down. Everything comes, no matter how high you rise, no matter how well you do, all of a sudden everything begins to come down. No matter how well you try, it takes prayer to be sustained in the air and break the force of gravity. Is somebody here with me? I see somebody breaking that force of gravity. Now, how do you pray? How do you pray? It's very important. How do you pray? Number one, get into the will of God. Get into the will of God. Get into the will of God. Isaiah 43, verse 26. Get into the will of God. 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 The Bible says that Isaiah 43, verse number 26. He said that, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be heard justified. Hallelujah. Put me in remembrance. God is speaking through his prophet. That put me in remembrance. In other words, remind me of what I've said concerning you. Get into my will. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be heard justified. I see you being justified in this season. So you get into the scriptures, which gives you what you desire. What gives you what? What do you desire? Get into the will of God. Get into the will of God. And the will of God, we have heard from last week that the will of God is his word. Praise God. Paul said, James said that you pray and you pray amiss because you don't pray in accordance with the will of God. And we have defined the will of God to pray in accordance with the word of God. His plan for your life. His will for your life. That which he has said concerning you. When you come before him, pray his scriptures. Pray his promises. And your life will definitely never going to be the same. Somebody is blessed. Now again, how do you pray? You must come with joy. You must come with joy and boldness. Joy and boldness. Come with boldness. Tell somebody, come with boldness. Yeah, come with boldness. Come with boldness. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Come with boldness. In prayer, we don't come begging. I told you last week, we said extensively on it on the third service that many of you have become beggars in the house of God. You have become beggars. You only come to God whenever you need something. But God wants to have an establishment with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He cherishes relationship more than the gift he gives you. He cherishes relationship more than the gift he gives you. He cherishes his relationship with you. That's why he said, call call me Father, our Father, our Father who art in heaven. The Father means the originator, the source, the one that comes from every good and perfect gift, the one behind every good thing in my life. Father, that is the source of my life. And when you come to him, you must come boldly. He said that let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, not having any guilty feeling or guilty conscience. Not feeling, because your Father doesn't think ill of you. Sometimes our mindset about God is that, oh, because of what I did the other day, he's still looking down on me with anger. No, he's a loving God. He's a loving Father. When you begin to see God as your Father, your approach towards him will be different. You can talk to him anytime, anywhere. Praise God. Because of the relationship I have with my Father, even now, no matter what he's doing, if I should call him right now, he doesn't have any choice than to pick it. Because he may not know what is happening or what the information I'm trying to give him. So the moment he sees me calling, Obed is calling, what is happening? Then before, you say, okay, then wait, later we'll talk about it. That is the kind of relationship we have all with our Father. When I also see him calling, hey, then my heart started cooking. Something is happening. What is this old man coming to say? And that is how relationship is established. Is somebody here with me? And he wants us to come what? Boldly. Amen. Now, when you come boldly, he said that you shall obtain mercy. I love that. You shall obtain mercy. You shall obtain mercy. This morning, let mercy be released unto you. Wow. Mercy is what takes care of our weaknesses, our limitations, our inability. Yesterday we had CTG here, and it was a covenant day of vengeance. And we realized that two key things are so important in God's way for your life: his judgment and his mercy. Two things are brought to bear whenever God is ready to avenge for you: his justice or judgment, and his what? His mercy. Now, mercy says no, because you cannot fight the battle on your own. You cannot make it by yourself. You cannot win the attack. In fact, the kind of things that are coming up against you, your strength is so limited to do it. But when you come boldly into his throne room, the Bible says you obtain mercy. In other words, God takes over your case. He takes over your case. Whether you are right or wrong, God takes over, because you are his son. He takes over. He stops the devil. Hey, leave that guy alone. Get out of him. Stop what you are doing. Let that situation stop, because that person has acknowledged me as his father. I want you to understand that this is the mindset we used to pray. You must come joyfully, and you must come what? Praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just search it and put it right there. Romans chapter number 4 concerning Abraham. The Bible says that, and he was giving thanks always. He was giving thanks always. When he was expecting the promise to be fulfilled, the Bible says that he never staggered in unbelief. He staggered not in unbelief, but then giving thanks to God always. He can always go before God with what? A joyful heart. God bless you. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but then was strong in faith, giving what? Glory to God. When you come, you must always be joyful. What a blessing. I pray that in this season, may our spirit be buoyant to resist the decays of this world. In Jesus' name, somebody be on your feet. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, your amen is weak. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? You want to raise your hands in a moment and say, Father, in this season, let my spirit man be strong. Strengthen me in my inner man. in the name of Jesus. Strengthen me in my inner man. Let my spirit man be strong. For the Bible says that we should be stronger in the power of his might. Spirit of God, strengthens me. Spirit of God, empower me. Holy Spirit, strengthen me on the altar of prayer. Everybody, open your mouth in prayer. Come on, open your mouth. I want to hear the church in prayer. I want to hear the church in prayer. Lift up your voice. That Holy Spirit, strengthen me. Let my spirit man be agile. Let my spirit man be buoyant. Let my spirit man, oh God, be strong in the name of Jesus Christ, so that I can resist. I can overcome the decays of this world and the structures of this world in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Oh God, my Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, my Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, my Father, pray that the Holy Spirit will strengthen you in the inner man. Pray that the Holy Spirit will strengthen you in the inner man. Pray that the Holy Spirit will strengthen you in the inner man. Pray that the Holy Spirit will strengthen you in the inner man. Lift up your voice. This is our days of prayer. Raise your voice. These are our days of prayer. Raise your voice. These are our days of prayer. Raise your voice. These are our days of prayer. Lift up your voice. Lord, strengthen me in the name of Jesus. Father, strengthen me in the inner man. Let my spirit man be buoyant. Let my spirit man be stronger. Let my spirit man open your mouth. Raise your voice in prayer. Raise your voice in prayer. Le paya de bo shanaba. Le kere de bo shanaba. Lord, by your spirit, let me be strengthened. Lord, by your spirit, let me be strengthened. In the name of Jesus. You want to quickly raise our voice in prayer? And we are telling God the Father, we come against and we resist any wiles, any darts of the enemy, any deceptions, any tricks of the enemy, the spirit of this world, the spirit that is in this world, that is decaying our life, that is trying to corrupt our life. We stand in the name of Jesus and we resist it in the name of Jesus. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Open your mouth right now and pray that, Father, by your spirit, we resist every decay, every corruption of this world against our lives. We rise up against the decays of this world. We rise up against the decays of the spirit of this world. In the name of Jesus, pray by Adana, pray by Adios, we rise up again. Raise up all. Rise up again. We rise up against the decrees of this world. In that name of Jesus. The Bible says that we should not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. For if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in us. So it takes the love of the Father to be able to love God and not to love the world. There are two ways. It's either you are loving the world or you are loving the Father. You cannot love the world and love the Father at the same time. But the saddest thing is that there are people in church who are loving the world and thinking that they are loving the Father. We want to pray in the name of Jesus Christ that Father, give us the grace to love you. That is a weak prayer for somebody. I said, give us grace to love you. Amen. Give us the grace to love you. May your love, the spirit of love, fill our heart. The spirit of love, fill our heart. The spirit of love, fill our heart. The face of love, open your mouth and begin to pray. The Father, in the name of Jesus. Let love fill your heart today. The spirit of love. May we love you, Jesus. 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 May we love you, Jesus.
We trust that you've been blessed with the Word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.